Although it's only hours away before I'm officially retired, no longer an employee of CenterPoint Energy, I still, even though I've been off work for, well, since I guess the 17th day of November, I've tried to stay in contact with some of my fellow employees, as many as I can see during the space of time that I can actually stop there and visit. Yesterday, I dropped my wife off at the beauty shop, and I made it over to the bank and got some money out of there, which is right next to the warehouse. And I noticed that the warehouseman's truck was sitting there, so I thought, well, I haven't seen him since I've, quote-unquote, been off work. And so I thought I'd go by and just visit with him a while and see how things were going, see how he was doing. I just want to stay connected. Even though I'm separated from employment for that company, you know, I don't miss that work at all. Claire keeps asking me, you know, I'm not used to every day. Do you not really miss going to work? And I'd look at her and smile. I said, does it look like I miss going to work? You know, I didn't miss going to work at all. But I did miss the people. And I did want to go back from time to time and stay connected to them. Because I think it's important to stay connected to people that, hey, I've been side by side, some of them, for 30 plus years. So it's not like I just want to drop them like a old sack of potatoes or something and just forget them. I want to stay connected. They're kind of like a family away from family. And I spent more time with some of those folks than I did my own family. I really, honestly did. So, you know, you get attached to those folks. You get, you know, and I wanted to see how he was doing. And lo and behold, he floored me. He asked me when I went into the room, he said, would you like to hear something very personal? Something to that effect. I can't remember his exact words. I said, yeah. And I just assumed it was going to be something about one of the other employees, you know, have the scuttlebutt going on at work, you know, and I'm not immune to gossip, but you'll never hear one of us repeating it because you got to barely listen to close the first time. So I just wanted to know what was going on at work, you know. Me and another guy used to have this little kind of ongoing joke, you know, when we'd take off and go to, you know, a week or two for a vacation, we'd come back, things have been changed and things got worse. And so we had this, I figured something had come down the pipes that was worse than it used to be. And lo and behold, he told me that he had been unfaithful to his wife. And it really floored me. And so through the course of this next 30 minutes or so that we had this conversation, I found out that he had innocently went on a four-wheel ride the first of the year, January 1. And there was a lady down there that had been divorced for a couple of years. And she was along with the group. I don't know who it was, who all was there. But she wasn't dressed for the occasion well enough, I guess, because he said she was cold, and it just so happened that his four-wheeler had kind of like a screen or something on it, I don't, you know, whatever, and would protect her from the wind, so he offered to let her ride with him on the four-wheeler. Innocent enough, isn't it? Okay. So, then, I don't know if it was her idea or his or both, but they exchanged phone numbers. Now, we're going to start a connection here. The one that led to the situation that he's in now, that his wife found out about, and he's really afraid that she might leave him. So, they exchanged phone numbers. And that, guess what you do when you exchange phone numbers? You begin to exchange texts because we are connected. We can connect with somebody over in Africa, and we can actually talk to them and see them face to face. There's a commercial going on now on TV that this girl comes into the classroom. I don't know who she is. I guess people are supposed to know who she is, but I don't know her. But she comes into the classroom, and they're talking about going on a field trip. And she asks them, where are you going? And they say, well, we're going to China. Anybody ever seen that commercial? Yeah. Well, she said, you know, gosh, all we ever did is we went to the farm. You know, and it showed a picture of supposedly her when she was a little girl and she was visiting the cows and stuff on the farm. And she said, no, seriously, where are you all going? She's, and the class said, China. And all of a sudden this big screen appears on the, you know, the commercial, and there's a classroom of children in China speaking, and you could hear them and see them. You can download Skype. Anybody downloaded that yet? You can download Skype. and you can talk to the person. I know that RG's on it. And if I wanted to, I could dial his number and we could see each other while we're talking. We can stay connected today in ways that we never dreamed of. So these two people, individuals, connected. They started exchanging texts. And according to him, the texts from her were coming like, come see me. Now, he's a grown man with a wife and two children. One's a newborn. I say newborn, less than a year old. Okay? Now, being connected is wonderful, isn't it? You know, back in our great-grandfather's day, you know, you weren't connected unless you were living close to somebody. There were no phones. There were no news services, unless it was in a paper. And the news that you got was probably years old, possibly. Or maybe not years, but certainly months. They had no form of communication unless it was by telegraph. And so, therefore, you weren't very connected to very many people. There weren't very many ways to be connected. But today we have so many ways. And, of course, everybody, I heard it last night, I believe I heard on the news, that 500 million people are now connected on Facebook. And I'm connected. I found out very quickly, though, that I wouldn't have much time to devote to it. Because it can take a lot of time. So I'm connected, but really the only time I get on anymore is if I notice on my email, because I'm connected that way too, like most of us are, if somebody, it shows up on my email, if somebody commented on somebody's status or somebody, you know, wanted to be my friend or, you know, things like that. And then I'll get on it. But usually that's the only way I ever get on anymore. So we have all these mediums now where we can get connected and stay connected that we didn't have many years ago. And it's a wonderful situation. You know, I told you probably before that I had a sister that I hadn't connected with in, over a year, and it was time for her birthday, and I always called her on her birthday. I lost her phone number. I had no way of contacting her. And so here I was trying to Google her name, maiden name, took me back to Oliver's, California, where we lived many years ago. So then I Googled her name of her first husband. Took me back to Oliver's, California, when we were in school. So I Googled her brother. Not her brother, but her brother-in-law, her husband's brother. And finally, to make a long story short, she wasn't on Facebook, and neither was the brother-in-law, but his son, the youngest son, was. And his name happened to be the same as her brother-in-law. And I got on there, and I asked him if he would help me find my sister. And so he emailed his father up in Oregon. He lives in California. His father moved to Oregon. And she just so happened had moved there next door. She's been out of work for quite some time and had some problems and finally got her disability. And in the meantime, all she had to live in was a travel trailer. And she pulled it up there. Somebody pulled it up there for her, actually, I'm sure. And she moved next door to them. They've been very close since the time that they were in the high school or maybe grade school. So she found out from her brother-in-law who lived next door there that I was trying to get in contact with her. And one Sabbath we went home and the message was on the phone. And she said, Pee-wee, that was my nickname. I heard you had been trying to get in touch with me, darling. And then she left her phone number, so we got in touch. So it's a valuable source if you're, you know, wanting to do it and use it for the right purposes. But to make this long story short, these two connected in a way that God never intended for two married people to connect. And so here he is now. And I'll give you a couple other illustrations about how being connected can be bad. By the way, I also heard on Facebook that some people's personal information is being captured by those who are not friends of theirs. Somehow they're invading their space page, whatever you call it, your Facebook. And you know, the more information you put on there, the easier it is to steal your identity. Like me, so I'm going to take it off probably tomorrow. No, not tomorrow, probably Monday. But I've got my my birth date on there. They know how old I am. They know I'm male. They know my birthplace. So what else do they need? Social Security number? So they steal your identity and then they can do all kinds of things that you don't. So, I mean, just I'm telling you that maybe you want to take measures to take some of your personal information off Facebook. I certainly am. But then I talked to this guy a little bit further about the situation, and now his wife has connected with an old flame on Facebook. Oh, what tangled webs we weave once we choose to deceive. And so he's afraid that she's going to reciprocate the situation that he did with an old flame. See how things get muddled up when good things turn sour? Being connected is a good thing until it turns bad. So he asked me for my advice. I gave it to him. I told him my advice was don't push her. The reason I said that is because come to find out, this old high school flame also has gone through a divorce. Okay? And his wife cheated on him. So there's the connection that they can actually kind of help each other. But that's not to say that it's going to turn out good. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't think that you trying to force her from talking to this person is going to be the right choice. I said, you don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, she might leave you. She might not. I mean, you know, she says she's not going to, but, you know, she's actually texted him and he's texted her and she's not been truthful about that. So you see where I'm going with this? Staying connected. I've entitled this message, Staying Connected. And again, we want to stay connected with our friends, with our families, with our loved ones, and even with those that are across the country. Or maybe if they move to a different nation or country. It's a good thing to stay connected, but it can turn sour. Then there's a lady at my workplace who, her husband got hooked up, got connected with an old flame or something. Now they're divorced. To make matters worse, she's had five offers from married men to date. That's connected. There's all types of predators online, whatever medium you want to connect with. So it's anything that man has invented for to prosper, to help man, has always been used to also, the other part of it is, the flip side of it is for negative reasons. But I want to talk about a connected today that we all desperately need. And it's not with our family members, it's not with our coworkers, it's with Christ. The best and most valuable connection that a human being can have is with Jesus Christ. And the stronger that connection is, and the more time we spend staying connected with Him, the better off it is for us. I don't think I can get an argument out of anybody by saying that. I want to go to the book of Mark, the first chapter, Mark 1. I want to read here how it was that Christ was able to withstand all the temptations that were thrown at him. Mark, the first chapter. I want to go to verse 9. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan River. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." Isn't that a wonderful thing? When you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you are connected. As valuable as the internet is to us, as valuable as all these other mediums are to us, this is the most valuable medium that you'll ever have. We spend a lot of time staying connected, and sometimes it's just a frustrating position that you're in. I was on the internet the other day, and it kept dropping off. And it stayed off sometimes. I think I was messing with it. You know, I did all the things I knew how to do. I unplugged the modem. I took the power off of it. I waited 10 seconds. I plugged it all back in, and it still did not connect. It was aggravating, frustrating. I needed to get some work done on the computer and couldn't. here we see Christ connected with the Father through the Spirit. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it, Marvin? To have the Spirit of God be connected. How much time do we put in being connected? Is a question. I can tell you that Jesus Christ put all of his lifetime being connected to the Father and being close to the Father, so that the Father could be close to him. Remember what the Scripture says, draw close to me and I'll draw near to you. So he was connected, the Spirit descends on them, and there came a voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, this is the only place where you find the word driven. The other gospel accounts say he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I can see both sides. You can be almost like a compulsion. You know, you have this thought, this driving you to go see somebody or to do something. And it's God leading you by His Spirit. But the Spirit does not drive, does not force, does not take over any human being. We can go to the book of Corinthians where it says, the Spirit that was in the prophets, and the Spirit that we have, is not, we're not subject to it, but it's subject to us. So we can disconnect. And just because we've been given God's Spirit doesn't mean we're connected. In the sense that there is something going on between us. When I dropped offline, I could not connect. I couldn't get anything I wanted to accomplish. I couldn't go to this site. I couldn't go to that site. I couldn't do this. I couldn't. When you're disconnected, there's no discourse. And we're told in the gospel account someplace when God gives you so much of this, whether it be the Spirit, whether it be talents, whatever analogy you want to use, something has to be done with it. There's one place where he talks about the unprofitable servant did nothing with it. Was unconnected. He said, I know you are an austere man. You reap where you didn't sow. So I hid it. Didn't use it. And God said, take the unprofitable servant and throw him in the fire. So there's all these warnings about how important it is to stay connected and to do with what God gives. So he gives us the Spirit. He gave Christ the Spirit here, and he said, go into the wilderness. Now, let's value this next verse because it's a warning to us. Value this next verse. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted. Now, you show me in the Scriptures where it says Christ was tempted before God gave him the Spirit. Now, I know he had the Spirit before. I know, you want to say he had the full measure of it or whatever. But I'm telling you, when it showed here that the Spirit ascended upon the Savior, that's when the temptation began. It makes sense to me that God does not have to tempt any human who doesn't have the Spirit. And again, don't get me wrong. God does not tempt, but He tests. Let me rephrase that. God does not tempt, but He does test us. He does allow these situations to come up. But He does not have to test. He does not have to try those human beings that are on the face of this earth that don't have His Spirit. Why does He not have to tempt those people? Because we're told in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, that those that do not have the Spirit of God are not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So they're not subject to the commandment which says, thou shalt not lust, desire another man's wife. They're not subject to that. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't, keep from being tempted to the point this man was, but it's altogether harder and more difficult when you don't have the Spirit and you're using that Spirit and you're staying connected, and those laws which are outside on the stone, or as we have in our house, there's a plaque that has the Ten Commandments on it that are outside. But when we're impregnated with God's Spirit, we're supposed to be getting those laws impregnated, implanted in our minds where they guide us, they direct us. It says the law is a lamp unto our feet in the book of Psalms. They're not outside, they're in. And that we navigate in our life with the law in mind. So that when we are tempted, we might be saying like Christ, it is said, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He had those laws impregnated and implanted in his mind They were a guide for him. They directed him. His mind, his heart, his body, his soul were completely directed by the commandments. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't say here any place in the scriptures that I can find where he was tempted until the day that the Spirit ascended upon him. Isn't that interesting? And also kind of frightful? It shouldn't be. I mean, I know that God does not allow the spirits out there, the wicked spirits in high places, have rule over us. But they sure can tempt us. Now, I said that the humankind does not have the Spirit of God in them. Satan does not need to tempt because they're already outside the law and indeed are not subject to it. He doesn't have to tempt them. You ever thought about that? He doesn't really need to tempt those that do not have his Spirit because they're not subject to his law anyway. So how are they going to keep it? But here, Christ, as the Spirit ascending upon him, he was tempted of Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Excuse me. In Luke, the first chapter, I'm going to show a situation here. Luke, first chapter, verse 67. Speaking of John the Baptist and Zechariah, being filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, and that is Luke 1, verse 67. This is at the birth of his son, John the Baptist. It said, "Blessed be the Lord God," in verse 58, "of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now, he's not speaking of John right here. Who's come from the house of David? Who was the son of Jesse? He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Christ. And verse 70 says, "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." By Christ. Staying connected. Staying in, and I don't need to tell you how we stay connected. You understand already. You've been around the church long enough how to stay connected. You can get on your knees and stay connected. You can meditate on God's Word. You can meditate upon His laws. You can actually read the Scriptures where God is talking to you. This Word speaks to us. God speaks to us. Did we not sing that song? So I don't need to tell you how to stay connected. But I can tell you somewhat about how to be disconnected and how that can lead to situations that none of us want. But he says he's going to save us, verse 71, from all of our enemies, those that hate us. In verse 72, I'm going to go to verse 74, says that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Now we're delivered from our enemies, and the evil one and his minions or demons were delivered from them, yet they could still tempt us. And we still have that free moral agency where we can actually make the choice of whether we're going to allow that temptation to take hold of us or we're going to, resist it. And remember, that's all that's necessary. The book of James tells us, resist the devil, the evil one, and he will flee from you because he cannot stand rejection. So he's going to deliver us out of the hand of our enemies that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. It's a lifelong process. Once you've been delivered from the darkness and been enlightened, that you have your whole life ahead of you to live for Christ, and you can't do it being disconnected, being inactive. He talks about John the Baptist would be a prophet of the highest to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, verse 77, through the mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace, to keep us out of the situation where a connected situation with somebody that we knew from the past, or maybe just a new person that we met, would not go down the road that this man went. Several times he broke down during the course of talking to me, came to tears. The bad thing is, the damage is already done. All he had to do is to resist the overtures when he got a text that said, come by and visit. He made a way to go by. Said he was going to go with some buddies somewhere for the weekend. He wasn't with his buddies. He told me several times, he said, I love my wife. And I'm thinking, not enough. I tell you, there's very little temptations out there that's stronger than that. You get my drift? You know, the book of Proverbs has many things to say about the strange woman or strange man. Or even those, you know, that were in your past. Sometimes it's better to leave things in the past if you can't handle the future. But staying connected to God, staying connected to Christ, you can handle any situation. You can say, thanks, but no thanks. No more text. He went to the position where he even changed phones and numbers. That fixed the situation between her and him. But now there's a situation going on between his wife and the guy from the past. She first told him that, well, it's, you know, there was nothing there. We're just friends. Then she confessed that they were actually dating. 4 years. 4 years. So I don't know where that's going, but I am praying for him, and I ask you to pray for him also and his wife, because they've got a lot on their plate to deal with. But he goes on to say about this verse 39, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We all want peace in our lives. We want peace in our families. We want peace in our extended families. But there's precious little peace in this world. But verse 80 says something here. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. So we have John the Baptist going into the desert in an isolated place. Sometimes the best thing you can do in life is to disconnect with friends and family. We could cite places in the New Testament scriptures where Christ sometimes just had to get away from the maddening crowds, if you will, and even his own chosen disciples, and go a distance from them where he could be in private with his Father and connect. Sometimes the best thing to do is to just disconnect, get away, and be alone. You see, for 40 days, Christ did the same thing. He got away from everyone. He was out there in the wilderness alone. Suppose what he was doing. What would you think he would be doing out in the desert 40 days away from everyone? It's the best way I know of to connect to the Father. We can't catch him on Facebook. We can't get email from him. We can't Skype, see his face. It's not that appointed time yet. But we have all these other ways that we can connect with the Father through the Son. But we have to stay connected. We have to stay active. And we can connect to the Father and to the Son through each other. That's why he says in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I believe it is, he said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, even so much so as you see that day of approaching. Is the day approaching? I think it is. I've been watching the news a lot lately about this oil spill down in the Gulf. To me, if they don't get this situation straightened out, it's going to be the greatest natural disaster that has ever hit the earth. Maybe not, but it's going to be a big one. Because now the oil is not only getting into the Gulf, but it's going around to that Gulf Stream, I think they call it, where it goes around the tip of Florida and goes up the East Coast. Well, what's in all those waters? Food. Some of it we don't eat, but a lot of it we do. The halibut, the cod, the haddock, all those fish, flounder. We're growing. I think we're going on a fast course to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the same chapter, but verse 40. Here we're talking. He's talking about Christ Himself, and it says Christ. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, it's telling me that if he waxed stronger and stronger in the, he was connected. He never lost sight of the Father. He never lost a connection. He was never dropped when he was online and had to reconnect. But he stayed close to the Father, connected with Him. Now, he had his own personal, physical parents there, but yet he stayed so close to the Father. In verse 49 it says, and when he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Because when they had come up to the feast and left, he was not in the company of the family that was with him. And they thought he was just with some of the family members back in the, you know, the trog of people that were coming back to their home after having attended the feast. But he wasn't. And so they were frantic and they were looking for him. He said, why is it that you sought me? Do you not know I must be about my Father's business? It was more important to him than his family. Being about his Father's business was more important to him because he knew that if he disconnected, that he could not stand the temptation that was thrown at him by the devil. The devil said at one point, you see all these worlds? Hasn't everybody wanted to conquer the world? Everybody from the time of men on the earth, certainly since the times of, I can't even think of his name right now, Nimrod. When people lifted that man up in their eyes, said a mighty one before God. In their own minds, they lifted him up as a mighty person. Almost deified him, and actually did deify him in their minds. A man. And ever since then, at least, if not long before, men have disconnected with their Creator, connected with a human. And the books of the Bible tell us in places that put your trust not in mortals, for in them is no help. The true help that we need can only be through the connection of Jesus Christ and His Father. So He said, I've got to be about my Father's business. And they did not understand it, says verse 50. They didn't understand it. And then continuing, it says in verse 51, if I can separate these pages. And He went down from with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. You know, he was subject unto his parents, but he never forgot and never, you know, broke that connection with the Father because he knew he had to keep it to withstand the time of his trials. But how connected do we stay before we have a trial? Or do we have the trials because we're not staying connected? You know, I know this guy that I talked to yesterday at work calls himself a Christian, quote unquote, or a disciple of Christ, as I like to use the term. He knows in his mind that he's a saved person. He also knows that he shouldn't commit adultery. So you think there's a disconnect? We're coming upon the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was given to the disciples that were gathered there, 11 of them. And we saw the great miracle that took place during that particular time. And there was a great miracle of communication took place on that day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell upon those disciples and they spoke with different languages, or at least the people understood them in their own language. So we're coming upon that time when the Spirit of God was given and miracles began to happen. And here we see that he kept all of these, it says here, he was subject unto them, but his mother kept all of these sayings. And she remembered what he said. She tried to connect the dots. He communicated with her, but she didn't understand. But she remembered it in her mind, what he said. She wanted to know what her son said. She knew he was special. There was no doubt about that. Verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Increased. How strong are we to stand alone, being disconnected from our Creator? I don't think anybody here would want to, you know, rationally think in their mind that I can make it alone without being connected. It is well with my soul if we're connected. But if there's not a connection there, a disconnect, then we're on our own. And how are we going to withstand the temptations? Because you saw where Christ was tempted after he received the Spirit. And if you've received the Spirit of God, then you're a marked person. You're a marked person by Satan the devil and his demons. But he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And he could only do it because he never forgot his ties with his Father. Remember what he said later in the book of John, "Father, restore with me." I'm paraphrasing. Restore with me the glory I had before, the relationship that we had before. Even though you connect like Skype with somebody over in Africa, it's not the same as being in their presence face to face. It's the next closest thing. He was connected to the Father by a great distance, though. They were separated. He wanted to be back with the Father. Now, I've told you before, and you realize how important it is to stay connected, whether you're on the internet, whether you're watching the news, you want to see what's taking place in the world, what events are carrying forth, if the beast is raising its ugly head, those type of things, you want to stay connected with the news, you want to know what's going on, you want to stay connected with your family who may live across country, you may want to reconnect like I did with my sister who I'd lost her number and couldn't find her anywhere. Those are all good, positive things. But we're told in John 6:35 that Christ is the bread of life. We understand during keeping the days of unleavened bread that we're supposed to ingest 7 days unleavened bread, which pictures the Christ that we know in the Scriptures and that we celebrate every Passover. We ingest that little piece of unleavened bread and that little bit of wine, which represent His body and His blood given for us. To make the connection between us and the Father. We have a high priest, that is Christ, which we connect with. We go right to the throne of God, connect with our Savior, and He makes intercession for us. And when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit itself will make intercession for us. I've been there before where I've got on my knees and I just didn't know what to ask and what to say. Maybe I've been disconnected too long or I wasn't in touch with myself. I didn't know my own motives. I don't remember the circumstances, but I've been where I've been on my knees and just almost, like it says, groan out loud, not knowing what to say, not knowing how to connect. And so I depended, and I believe the Spirit connected for me. But He says in John 6:35, "I'm the bread of life." I am the bread of life. John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world." If you want to know what will enlighten you and instruct you in the way that you should go, connect with Christ. In John 10, verse 7 and 9, He says, "I am the gate." To what? Eternal life, God's kingdom, being a member of His family, living forever. In John 10, verses 11 and 14, He says, "I am the good shepherd." John 11:25, He says, "I am the resurrection, I am the way to that, and the life." John 14:6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." And John 15:1, verse 5, don't forget this one. "I am the true vine." Remember what He says in that chapter? If you disconnect from the vine, you are on your own. You can do nothing. How important is it to stay connected? It's extremely important. I think I want to go over to John, the 10th chapter, because there's a particular scripture there that we can read that has a word in it that I want to take a little time with. let's see, John 10. And let's look at verse 7. He says, "I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in a night and find pasture." If you go through Christ, through that gate, you will find pasture. Anybody ever looked up that word, pasture? Did a Bible a word study on it? It's an interesting word. And it can mean just purely, if you're talking about animals, it can mean just going out to a place where you can graze and get some nourishment, food, ingesting. It comes from the word N-O-M-E, nami, and it's 3542 in your Greek and Strong's Concordance. It's a feminine from the same as 3551. And the word means pasture. That is the act of feeding, you know, ingesting, getting sustenance. 3551 in the Greek is N-O-M-U-S, namus, from a primary word, which is N-E-M-O. Not Nemo, but I'm not sure how you pronounce it. But it's not Nemo. But it means to parcel out for food or grazing to animals, or it also means law. I am the way to graze upon the law. I am the spokesman for God. I am His spokesman, and I have spoken to you about the law, the commandments, and keeping them, and how important it is. Not to earn your salvation, but the book of Acts tells us He gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. Because we must obey Him. It tells us that in the Scriptures. But this word pasture means law. Through the idea of prescriptive usage. Oh, we're to use the law. We're to ingest it. We're to think about it. Remember, look at the Psalms of David where he talks about, I meditate upon the law all the day long. Teach me thy laws. Teach me thy commandments, and I shall teach others. You know, you could do a whole day looking through the Scriptures about David and the law and how much he says, oh, how I love thy law. It is ever with me. We have songs in our hymnals that talk about, oh, how I love thy law. But it's through prescriptive usage. Generally, it means regulation. Specifically, of Moses. Well, what did Moses get? It's been said that the Ten Commandments were given on the day of Pentecost. To me, if it was or wasn't, is not as important as the fact that they're to be kept. Because if you keep them, then you won't be texting some strange woman to make a connection that's forbidden. Or a man in a situation that's forbidden. So he's talking about the law here, specifically of Moses, including the volume. Also of the gospel, or figuratively, a principle or a law. So, you go through Christ, you ingest the law, and you can understand it. And by the way, since you've been given His Spirit, then you can be subject to the law. Okay. That is important, to be subject to the law of God because of obedience. Again, Romans 8:7 tells us the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God and indeed cannot be. So that's why I say that the devil and his demons are not interested and not looking after, not looking for, not trying to trip up our friends and neighbors who do not have His Spirit. Doesn't have to. They can do well enough alone. Acts the 2nd chapter, I mentioned it. You know, the servants of God were empowered, emboldened, and brought forth much fruit through their ministry. But before that time, they were hiding because Christ had recently been, what? Crucified. They were hiding. He had to appear to them in the room. The doors were locked. The windows were down. They had shades. They were pulled. They were afraid because their Messiah had been killed, and they thought they were next. Peter says, I will not deny you. But what did he do? Denied him three times before the cock crew. But on this day, Peter spoke up, not afraid, but emboldened, empowered through the Spirit of God. Remember what he said, John 15, you can't do anything without me. Stay connected through the Spirit of God. And increase like Christ and John the Baptist did in knowledge and wisdom and understanding and fortitude. I am resolved. No, if you'll just allow me, I'll probably use that at the end of this message. Don't want to sound corny or anything like that, but it's in our hymnal, and I like the words to it. Because Christ was resolved to stay connected to the Father, He was able to withstand any temptation. that the devil threw at him. James, the first chapter, tells us we must stay connected. Otherwise, we're going to be dangling out there on our own. Kind of like somebody, you know, we used to kind of kid about somebody getting one of these idea babies, as Mr. Garner Armstrong used to call them, idea babies, these theology doctrines or ideas in their mind, some sort of orthodoxy that was not dogma, but they turned it into dogma. It was an idea baby. They didn't want to turn loose of it. And they want to expound these idea babies to all the fellow brethren. And you know, maybe they thought there was a light in them, but you know, and in fact, they were actually, you know, corrupted in some way. But we must stay. He says, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Why? Because it exercises your faith. Anything that is hard to do, it's like they tell you about exercising. If it ain't hurting, it ain't doing you any good. No pain, no gain, they say about exercise. If you want to exercise your faith, you're going to have to get out on the, you know, you're going to have to show yourself. You're going to have to mix it up with the world. Mix it up with text messages, if that's the avenue that you use. Mix it up online. Mix it up by the phone. Mix it up by just talking. You know, I tell you what, a workplace can turn into a little Peyton place real quick. When you spend more time sometimes at the workplace with people than you do your family, it's real ripe for a relationship that's forbidden in the commandments. Very ripe. So he says, you know, count it joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Patience will work diligence. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, and that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But don't ask wavering. You know, don't be unstable, it says in verse 6. And don't let that man that is unstable think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. And if you can't stay connected to God, you're going to be unstable. It's just the way it is. He talks about the rich will be made low. He talks about a man's life being here just very short. Better make the best of it. In verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Excuse me. Which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Man said he loved his wife, but he went out on her. He practiced infidelity with his wife. Do you think he would do it with his Creator? Well, he did. Because his Creator said it's not permissible for a man or a woman to have a relationship, intimate relationship, with somebody outside the marriage. So he sinned against God, didn't he? He broke his wife's heart. And now damage control is trying everything it can to make the situation better. I don't know. In verse 13 says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted to God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither indeed does he tempt anyone. That's how Christ stayed strong. He stayed close to the Father so he couldn't be tempted. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and what? Enticed. We have them. We all have different lusts. We have the human carnal nature. I know that we've been impregnated by God's Spirit, but we still have that carnal nature that we have to fight with almost sometimes daily. God told Peter one time, and it was before he was impregnated with the Spirit, but he told him, he says, oh, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, we want to, you know, it's so ignorant of someone to say, well, I'm just going to see just how good I'm doing. I've been on a wagon for 6 months. I'm going to go up with my friends to the local pub. We're going to shoot a little pool or shoot a little darts. Stupido. Not a good idea. We should never place ourselves in a place of temptation. We should never offer to even let someone ride on our four-wheeler if they're not our wife. Maybe you're above that. I don't know. But I tell you, it's easy to be tempted. And it says, verse 15, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin comes forth, it is finished and brings forth death. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every gift and a good gift and perfect gift comes from the Father above. We're kind of His first fruits. We should be reminded of that every day. In 1 John, I want to finish with 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John 2, I want to go to verse 12. He's talking to every group inside the church, the young, the old, the aged. 1 John 2, verse 12 says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that was from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one by that connection to the Word of God. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world's going to pass away. And all of our connections that we've had will cease to be. More than likely, whether it be family, old flames, or co-workers. But when we receive that crown and we enter into God's kingdom and fully connected, all of these things that tempt us now won't have any tug on us in our human nature, because we won't have any. We will be fully spiritual. And I want to read this to you. I am resolved, because Christ was resolved. John the Baptist was resolved. Ezra was resolved, as it says in the book of Ezra, that he said, I have pointed my mind toward God's law, keeping them and teaching them. In the book of the hymnals, page 84, the song says, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. You know, I'm going to interject here. Tempted by all the delights out there, the little delicacies, whether they be two-legged, four-legged, or automobile, or plane, or whatever. And he said, I'm not charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. Verse 2, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife, the old man. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. 3, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Oh, if we could only do that. Be so connected that we never have an impure thought or an impure deed, or neglect something that we should be doing and not do it. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth. He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me. Foes may beset me. Remember, we're a mark to the devil and his demons. Still, I will enter in. Convicted, resolved, resolute. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. God's kingdom is close. It may come in our lifetime and it may not. But every day is a day to stay connected with Jesus Christ and the Father.